This is the Black Christian News Network One podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to the Daily Mail, the person of interest in Sunday's SUV attack in Waukesha, Wisconsin, is Darryl Brooks, a 39-year-old amateur rapper from Milwaukee, who was bailed out of jail days before allegedly plowing through crowds at a Christmas parade, killing five people and injuring dozens more. Brooks was detained shortly after a red SUV plowed into the annual Christmas parade in the town of Waukesha, leaving at least five people dead and 40 injured, including at least 12 children on Sunday night. His vehicle was found on West College Avenue, some five blocks from where the parade was taking place, and he was taken into custody nearby. On November 5th, Brooks was charged with felony bail jumping, recklessly endangering safety, battery, disorderly conduct, and resisting an officer 3 days earlier on November 2nd. He was ordered to not have any contact with a female victim. Despite one of his offenses being felony bail jumping, the judge set a $1,000 bond, which he paid on November 11th. His case was updated on November 19th to say he'd been released on bond. It's unclear what his motive was, but police sources say he may have been fleeing an earlier knife attack when the parade massacre took place. Brooks lives some 20 miles away in Milwaukee, in a suburban home where he films rap videos in the street. On Monday, a man who answered the door refused to make a comment on Brooks' involvement in Sunday's attack at the parade. "If you're trying to get some information, I can talk to you. I know what this is related to, but we're not going to talk to you," he said. His motive for Sunday's attack remains unclear. Police will not confirm whether it was a deliberate act of terror or if Brooks accidentally ran into the crowds after losing control of his car while fleeing a knife crime. According to CBN, Muslim extremists in eastern Uganda killed a 58-year-old Christian pastor last month after he refused to close his church, which is located near their mosque. Morning Star News reports Pastor Stephen Laguire of Bonangui Estate in the Namutumba district was violently attacked on October 26th while tending to his sheep. The pastor and his 23-year-old daughter, Brenda Laguire, went out to their field that evening when three men dressed in Islamic clothing started yelling at them. Brenda says the men were carrying long knives and blunt objects while shouting "Kafir," or "Infidel," to her father. As the men got closer, one said, "We have told you to remove the church, which is near our mosque, but you have not heeded our message. Today you will face the wrath from Allah." Pastor Laguire's congregation has worshipped at their church building for the past 2 years. Brenda explained, "One of the assailants hit my father with a big stick on the head, and he fell down. While fleeing the area, she saw one of the extremists slashing her father with a knife." After the incident was reported to police, authorities and the pastor's family located his body. He was badly wounded with deep cuts in his neck and chest. According to Morning Star News, police found out that the suspects went to the house of a wealthy Muslim woman named Shamimu. Following her arrest, Shamimu told police, "The servants of Allah entered my house in order to remove the clothes which they were wearing because they were soaked in blood, and said that they had killed an infidel. Hence, Allah will reward them, as they were following the footsteps of their prophet." She continued, "The pastor didn't honor Allah by refusing to demolish the church, which was close to the mosque, along with his activities of winning their members to Christianity." A funeral was held for Pastor Laguire on October 30th. Members of his church retaliated by destroying the Muslim's mosque, along with other properties, causing further tensions among local residents. Had it not been for the intervention of the police and the local leaders, the whole village could have been on fire, said an area official who asked to remain anonymous. Pastor LaGuire leaves behind his wife, a son, and 7 daughters. According to the Associated Press, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt commuted the death sentence of condemned inmate Julius Jones on Thursday, just hours before his scheduled execution. Jones has proclaimed his innocence from death row for more than 2 decades in the 1999 killing of a suburban Oklahoma City businessman. Stitt commuted the 41-year-old Jones's death sentence to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. He had been scheduled for execution at 4 p.m. After prayerful consideration and reviewing materials presented by all sides of this case, I have determined to commute Julius Jones's sentence to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, Stitt said in a news release. A crowd that had gathered inside of the Oklahoma Capitol in support of Jones broke out into loud applause and cheers after the decision was announced shortly after noon Thursday. Earlier Thursday, Jones's attorneys had filed a last-minute emergency request seeking a temporary stop to his execution, saying Oklahoma's lethal injection procedures posed a serious and substantial risk of severe suffering and pain to prisoners. And citing last month's execution, in which John Marion Grant convulsed and vomited as he was being put to death. The state's Pardon and Parole Board recommended in a 3-1 vote on November 1st that Stitt commute Jones's sentence to life in prison, with several members of the panel agreeing they had doubts about the evidence that led to Jones's conviction. Jones was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to die for the 1999 shooting death of Edmund, businessman Paul Howell, during a carjacking. Jones's case drew widespread attention after he was profiled in The Last Defense, a 3-episode documentary produced by actress Viola Davis that aired on ABC in 2018. Since then, reality television star Kim Kardashian West and athletes with Oklahoma ties, including NBA stars Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin, and Trae Young, have urged Stitt to commute Jones's death sentence and spare his life. Jones alleges he was framed by the actual killer, a high school friend and former co-defendant, who was a key witness against him. But Oklahoma County District Attorney David Prater and the state's former Attorney General Mike Hunter have said the evidence against Jones is overwhelming. According to the Atlanta Black Star, LaTonya Payne, the legal guardian of her nephew, Corinthian Giles, has sued the city of Houston, Texas, and Union Pacific Railroad after her nephew died from leukemia, which she believes was caused by toxic chemicals in the neighborhood. Payne is one of the thousands of individuals in Houston who have brought forward lawsuits that claim the railroad company is responsible for the ill effects they've suffered from their properties and groundwater being contaminated with toxic chemicals that came from the nearby rail yard for decades. The lawsuit was filed last week in Harris County District Court and claims that Union Pacific attempted to cover up how serious the contamination was and furthermore failed to clean it up. The suit also claims that the City of Houston failed to warn the residents of the potential dangers or reduce the risk of poisoning, which several reports claimed caused cancer. Following a 5-year battle with his illness, Giles died in July at age 13. The young boy grew up 2 blocks away from Union Pacific's Inglewood rail yard and former Creosote treatment plant in Houston Greater Fifth Ward area, where reportedly 100 properties were affected. The Creosote was used to treat railroad ties at the yard, which operated from 1895 to 1984, and become Union Pacific's property in 1996 when the company bought the Southern Pacific Railroad. According to WFAA, the trial of a former Fort Worth officer charged in the killing of Atatiana Jefferson will happen in January. Aaron Dean's trial had been scheduled to begin November 16th, more than 2 years after he shot the 28-year-old Jefferson through a window during a late-night wellness check, but it was delayed. During a court hearing on Tuesday, a judge set the new date for January 10th. Court proceedings had been paused during the pandemic. Under the new timeline for the trial, motions will be heard on December 6, 2021, and a jury will be seated on January 4, 2022. Dean is charged with murder in Jefferson's October 12, 2019 death. On that night, a neighbor had called police requesting a welfare check after he saw the door open at Jefferson's Fort Worth home. Jefferson, 28, was playing video games with her 8-year-old nephew when Dean walked into the backyard. She grabbed her gun and had gotten up to look out the window when she was shot, police records show. Jefferson died at the scene. According to the Memphis Commercial Appeal, Young Dolph, a high-profile Memphis rapper, was killed in a shooting Wednesday while inside a cookie bakery on Airways Boulevard, Memphis police said. The shooting occurred at the renowned bakery, Makeda's Homemade Butter Cookies, a spot the 36-year-old star frequented in his strip's home. Witnesses who documented the aftermath of the shooting on social media identified Young Dolph's car, a vehicle with a unique and distinguishable camouflage paint job. Scores of fans arrived at the scene after the shooting to express grief and support. In the hours after the shooting, social media rumors began to spread of shootings connected to other Memphis rappers. A Memphis police spokesman said there is no evidence of shootings at two of the most rumored locations. The spokesman did confirm a shooting in the Orange Mound intersection of Diedrich Avenue and Haines Street, which is near Melrose High School. There were no injuries in the shooting, which was also shared across social media. Any connection to the shooting of Young Dolph was unclear. Memphis City Councilman J.B. Smiley and Tennessee State Rep. London Lamar called Wednesday for the city to institute a curfew after Young Dolph's shooting, with Smiley referring to reports of additional shootings. A person receiving calls at a phone number for APA agency, which lists Young Dolph on the agency page, declined to comment. According to Deadline, Searchlight Pictures has snapped up E. Nicholas Mariani's 2018 Blacklist script, The Defender, which George Tillman Jr. will direct, with three-time Emmy-winning actor Sterling K. Brown to star as heroic lawyer Scipio Africanos Jones. Jones was a courageous attorney who risked his life and career to defend 87 men wrongfully accused of murder in the wake of the Elaine A.R. massacre of 1919, when a group of black sharecroppers meeting in a church about unionization were attacked by a posse organized by white landowners. Brown will produce with 21 Laps' Sean Levy and Dan Cohen. Mariani and Daniel Reardon will execute produce with Dan Trum and Nguyen, Katie Godson Thomas, and Richard Ruiz, overseen for Searchlight. Ben Wilkinson, VP Business Affairs and Legal Counsel, negotiated the deal for Searchlight along with WME and CAA on behalf of filmmakers. You can read these stories and more at blackchristiannews.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your day.